Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up on the show, we're going to look back at the decision made by Brian Kelly, what it means to Notre Dame and why so many people are bothered by the move. We're going to look back on Monday Night Football. Washington gets it done, but what does it mean to Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson moving forward? Officiating strikes again in the NFL. Dr. David Chow is going to stop by to talk about several injuries around the league, and all of that is yours. Coming up next on a Tuesday edition of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, man. Is it done?
What is wrong with you?
is it just about a wrap for a couple of a pair, if you will, in the NFL?
Oh,
we'll get to all that coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so, taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, man.
How about that?
What's going
on? How about
Brady?
That?
What up? What up? What up, fellas? What's up?
What up, guys?
What up,
no.
What's up, BQ?
Not much. Not much. A lot going on at my alma mater.
Oh, yeah.
As Brian Kelly probably arrives in Baton Rouge later on today.
Yeah.
Wearing that purple and yellow or whatever the hell they call it.
I mean, could you imagine? Not too long ago, we're sitting here and y'all are making fun of me, stressing me out about James. And you lose Brian.
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
summer.
What the difference
it's
is?
Crazy.
Is he's 60.
Yeah.
Like, this day was going to come sooner or later anyway. And I'll be honest with you, with the candidates that are out there, I'm not that worried. I'm really not. Like, I think it's tough. Like, your concern was with James. You had said, well, if he leaves, like, they're all coming with him.
They would have.
Yeah.
Here's
the difference. Notre Dame, kids go to Notre Dame for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
I love Ty Willingham. Do not get me wrong when I say this. It plays a factor who the head coach is there when you go to play for him. But that wasn't why I went to Notre Dame. That's why I didn't transfer after he was fired and left. I didn't even think about it. I went there for the combination of what that university offers. It's a different place. It's not for everyone.
True.
And that's why, like, it's to me, I think you look at what's in that locker room, what's there. You know, no one's looking at, to me, transferring. It's not like an Oklahoma situation and Lincoln Riley goes to USC and there's this mass exodus. It's not that kind of student athlete. So that's one of the differences. But I think the other thing that kind of stands out is the timing of all of it.
I mean, got done pretty quick.
There's so much
on. No, not the deal. Not how the deal got done.
It's good going on. Like, you're almost about to make the playoffs once Michigan loses to Iowa. Like,
that's what I'm saying. If Michigan is to lose to Iowa, Notre Dame could find themselves playing for a national championship.
Without their head coach.
Well, but let's not make it without their head coach. It's that Brian Kelly decided to leave knowing that that was a possibility.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think that is because this was about something other than just money. Look, $100 million is $100 million. And from what I've talked to people last night, it's anywhere from 7 years to 10 years, whatever the length of the contract is. Again, he's 60, so you got to keep that in mind. Like, a 10-year contract to his 70? I mean, Nick Saban's had his most success in his 60s while being at Alabama. So maybe you hear that pitch being given to LSU. Hey, Nick Saban did it. Brian Kelly can come there in his 60s and have a lot of success. I mean, the past three head coaches at LSU have won national championships. They're also not there anymore, but I digress. I think why it happened is there's always egos involved. And I think in this case, maybe Brian Kelly didn't feel appreciated for what he's done at Notre Dame. He's the all-time winningest coach, right? Surpassed New Rockne this past year. He went to a national championship in the BCS era. He went to a couple of college football playoffs. I believe it's 5 years in a row now they've had 10 wins or more. So I think there is an element of stability, of success, consistency that he's provided that he feels like he wasn't appreciated enough with the way he was treated. Now, again, that's just kind of an outsider's view of this, because $100 million is $100 million. And maybe Notre Dame wasn't willing to give him that, you know, given his age or given how they're viewing the situation. But, you know, you're going to hear reports of, well, that he wanted this new facility built. He had an indoor facility built. He had one built. And there were some other pieces they wanted to add on to a sports performance center. And that's all still in there and still going to happen. Maybe not as fast as he wanted. Notre Dame's different. The way they go about fundraising and ensuring buildings are built. And another thing you're going to hear is, well, he wanted more, you know, money for his coaches pool. Yeah, that sounds great. And I'm sure every head coach would say that every single time he redoes his contract. But it doesn't always happen. But you know what always happens when they redo their contract? They get more money. So, you know, that's more of something that his agency will push out to the media, to all these reporters, to make it look like him leaving. Well, yeah, but they didn't want to, you know, give him more money to pay his coaches. Okay, that sounds good. And he didn't want to take, you know, he didn't want to take more money. Well, if he didn't want to take more money, why is he going to LSU for $100 million?
Right.
So, I mean, the reality is this. You're going to hear a lot of stuff when it all comes down to it. This was about money. This was about ego. And this was about, I think, and when I say ego, him looking at LSU and saying, I've played against them. I know what they can recruit. I know the difference in restrictions that you kind of have, or the hurdles you got to jump over at Notre Dame versus LSU to recruit. And I want to try to go win a national championship. And he might feel like he has a better chance there. But the irony of it is his team could literally be playing for one this year. Which is just, and really the next 2 years, they have two top five recruiting classes right now. And so he's leaving all of that. But I think the way he did it was more about his ego and how he feels like he was treated at times, maybe at Notre Dame, or in this instance, you know, how he was treated, not, you know, getting just immediately someone turning and saying, hey, let's write the check so you could stay here in South Bend. But I think it had more to do with that. Because I had heard about this probably 24 hours ago, not quite, probably after our show yesterday. I had heard some inklings about him being frustrated, LSU missing out on Lincoln Riley, and now coming after Brian Kelly. Because they had heard that Brian Kelly, you know, there was some interest from USC and Brian Kelly. And so if he was interested in USC, it's like, well, why not? You know, let's let LSU open up the checkbook, see if they can give him a bigger contract and see if he'll come down. And so that all started to evolve yesterday. And as that evolved, I started to hear this, like, oh, the facility, oh, about coaches pool for money and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you don't leave the way he did. I mean, literally out on the road recruiting, leaving a recruit's house after this news breaks and having other coaches out there who are on the road recruiting. You don't leave in a classless way like that after becoming the all-time winningest coach. Unless there's more to it, and you want to do this in kind of a conniving way. You know, I know he's having a meeting in about an hour with the team, you know, to kind of explain everything. I don't really know what there is to explain.
Yeah, what do you need to say to me?
I mean, I've been a part of coaches.
What do you need to say to me?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're leaving these players.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye, you left us.
And again, I'll remind people, with a chance to at least play in a New Year's Six game, like they're going to play in a New Year's Six game, they may have a chance of playing for a national championship. And I know we talk about players opting out of bowl games or, you know, and all that stuff, right, because they have the chance of an injury risk and to go to the NFL. This is entirely different. This is just a guy walking out. And it's a classless move. And I'll be curious to see how it works out at LSU, because their cupboard's a little bit bare. I know they can recruit. They got a lot of talent down there in the South. But if he doesn't win quick, like in 3-4 years, like, oh, we could be looking back and laughing at this.
I mean, Ed Orgeron hit on some woman at a gas station. They fired him, you know, less than 2 years after he won a national title.
Well, you're not going to have to worry about that with Brian. Well, he is like a Boston elitist who's now down in Baton Rouge. I don't know how that works. I mean, you guys tell me, like, Ed Orgeron was like the perfect sounding coach.
Perfect.
and they kicked him to the curb after winning a national championship.
Yeah, I think that's the point you just made, huh, Jonas? It doesn't matter if you win.
It's at schools
like that.
But
you got to keep winning.
I remember he kind of did the same thing to Cincinnati, to where you had a lot of Cincinnati players back at the time that were pissed off and spoke up about it and were bothered by the way that he left because Brian Kelly just sort of bailed. And I want to say it was either right before their bowl game.
Yeah, it was. It was before.
And so we've seen this from him before. And then all of a sudden for it to just pop up and for him to bail like that, you mentioned something and you guys would know a lot more about this than I would, but and probably a lot of people listening. How much more difficult is it to recruit at Notre Dame than it is at LSU? Because there's some people that are pointing to that as maybe being the reason why he doesn't want to, and you alluded to it, doesn't want to have to go through all that he has to go through to get that top five recruiting class at Notre Dame if it's less difficult at LSU.
Well, the academics are one thing. I mean, just to qualify to get in, it's going to be more difficult. I would say to keep a kid there, too, is more difficult because of how hard the academics are. And so, yeah, you limit your talent pool in that regard. You know, guys aren't coming just to play football. And that's why, look, in an instance like this, you may have some kids transfer. That's always going to be the case, by the way, especially if they're not playing. But you know, at this point, like, I'm not overly concerned because I think a lot of those young men, when they go there for that degree. They go there for everything else there. The parents who are involved with a lot of these young men, they understand why they're going to Notre Dame. And it's always been bigger than the coach. So, again, the academics are part of the conversation, but that's something that there's been kids who have made it through that, you know, maybe people didn't think would get in. It's a reason, but again, you're looking at the next two classes are both top five.
Yeah.
Look at what they've done this past year. Like, that's not overly difficult because you're not competing with other teams that are just saying to you, hey, it's only about football. Like, they have a unique approach and a unique pitch that's national. LSU doesn't have that. Southern Cal doesn't have that. Southern Cal is just trying to hold on to their Southern California, and they feel like they can win if they do that. You know, Notre Dame's got a national recruit and pitch to everyone that's unique and different. And so you can look at it as a hurdle, or you can look at it as an advantage. So, I don't think it's about that. Because I think the issues you have with that once you get them into school is nothing. Like, the issues you have with LSU players when they come into school is, I hope they can stay out of trouble. Like, those are different issues, and those are issues that are real and you're going to have to deal with. You know, when you're dealing with, you know, a player who's not coming to your school for anything other than football, there's going to be some problems there.
What a wild 24, 48 hours in college football, man.
These
guys are just getting paid.
And the crazy thing is it's not over.
I know.
It's not over.
Guys are just getting paid left and right.
Well, and that's what this is. This is a domino effect from Mel Tucker.
Oh,
whatever happened to loyalty, man? I mean, honestly.
Whatever happens to, like, the young men you're there coaching?
I teach you loyalty. I teach you sacrifice. I teach you dealing with adverse situations, pushing through and perseverance, the intestinal fortitude that it takes to be winners in life. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm out.
Yeah.
And here's a message, and I'll explain the rest tomorrow at 7 a.m. when you get up early to come hang out. Why couldn't he is this one of those
why couldn't he have waited?
No, here's why couldn't he have said to LSU, hey, before we make any sort of an announcement, can I at least talk to my guys first? Because I find it hard to believe LSU over $100 million contract would say, no, we got to leak this story now so we can get ahead and worry about you having to talk to your players afterwards. That's why I just don't buy him leaving the message. Sorry, guys, I wanted you to find out differently. It just, you know, things happen. He could have had some conversation with LSU and said, can I at least talk to my guys first? I did it one time to Cincinnati. It didn't go over well. I don't want to make that mistake again. And it's like he didn't do that. He just, you know, basically...
Well, it's one of two things. He either didn't care or, I mean, from everything I was hearing last night, it was coming from one side, and that was LSU. And Notre Dame wasn't speaking because their athletic director, Jack Schwarbrick, operates different. He's not the easiest guy to get a hold of. And the narrative that was pushed out from BK's agency was, you know, hey, he doesn't want to leave. He really doesn't want to have to do this. But if Notre Dame's not going to come back and be able to match this offer, like, he's going to go. Now, the problem with that is every single offseason, you know, Brian Kelly's always either potentially talking to an NFL team or he's talking to another, you know, college football team. Like, this isn't the first time, by the way, Southern Cal has kicked the rocks on Brian Kelly. They've actually, you know, they've been interested in him a number of times, and he's turned it down, and he said he wasn't interested. So I think part of the problem is you can't every single offseason be redoing his deal, renegotiating his deal, just because he's a good coach and people are talking or asking about him. At some point, he has to be loyal to it too. And so I think there was a bit of frustration maybe with what hadn't been done in South Bend, but also a frustration with his agent knocking on the door every time, you know, of the athletic director's office and the president's office and saying, hey, we got another team interested. Give us more money. You know, give us a new contract. Like, it's a hard cycle to be in. The timing of all this is, I think, what rubs me the wrong way the most. Because, hey, you could have waited till after this weekend to see what would happen. But in reality, you can. And you can't. And that's because of the calendar for recruiting. You see, the NCAA now has made this, like, first week in December, that early signing period. So then you get early enrollees in your program starting in January. And so, you know, we could complain about the optics and how this looks, but universities have to move quick, coaches have to move quick, agents have to move quick, because they need to install whoever that next head coach is to then finish out this early signing period class. Otherwise, they have to wait all the way to February after the Super Bowl when you have that signing day. But that signing day is not usually when you get those studs, those five-star, four-star guys who want to enroll early, which is happening more and more.
Whoa.
I had a little bit of a technical difficulty.
That was
there,
a whole so lot of energy and, coming through that line.
Yeah, well, that's Brian Kelly must have got a hold of Brady's equipment
that,
there.
Yeah, they.
Oh, boy. I probably should have said that better.
He didn't want him to finish the show. he had to get somebody I didn't finish the show to. Golly. That's horrible.
And Brady didn't even tell us, just like Brian Kelly. Unbelievable. By the way, we are brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, so coming up next, we could be seeing the end of one duo in the NFL. We'll get into all that for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox are here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, we are going to have another edition of, in case you missed it, some wild shenanigans happening during the holiday season throughout the world of sports and beyond. So we'll have that for you here later this hour on FSR. So we have Brady Quinn back and ready to roar.
Did you guys think I left you? Like, you just all of a sudden out of nowhere in the middle of the night?
What the hell is that about? Is that like
I was going to text you at 7 a.m. say, hey, guys, I got to have a meeting during one of the breaks.
I was going to ask you, are you close to any players on the Notre Dame football team right now? Like, that you would consider a friend that you could call or text or something like that and they would respond?
It's such a weird way you'd put that. I have acquaintances. I mean, they're half my age. So I don't have many friends that are like 18 to 22. I don't know about you. I do have some players that I know that I could reach out to. It was just the weirdest question ever. It's okay. how many people would consider, you know, guys who are half their age, friends, they're more acquaintances.
Because there's
like you're mentoring them.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Before Jonas wants to slap around.
All right.
But I would say this. Mentoring them or being that to them, to me, is different than like saying friends.
Like friend. Like we're friends.
No, you're not asking them for advice. Yeah. You're asking you for advice. That's not a friend. You're a mentor.
Truth.
Okay.
Yeah, that is.
Can I get to my follow up? Why I asked the question.
What do you want, Slappy? Right.
Can you have one of those guys call us but hide the phone when Brian Kelly's talking to us so we can get that on the air?
FaceTime it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you thought.
I mean, there's no loyalties here.
Now's the time, Brady.
I would get him.
Like, why not? Everybody wants that, everybody else. Come on, man. Use your pull. All right, you're the you're
it's
the
only
because
I'm
legend.
Safe right now for
hey,
like.
Let me tell you something.
For 10 years,
if this happened to Chuck E. Cheese, I'd be able to pull it off. All right, you got any balls? Come on, let's make it happen. Let's go. Let's get one of those players.
By the way, does Chuck E. Cheese does he have balls? I never thought about that.
Huh. I don't. Who knows?
No. Yeah, they didn't want him to reproduce.
You guys.
In fact, he's around too many kids, so they did not want Chuck E. Cheese having any type of any type of drive or anything like that.
But are those kids friends of Chuck E. Cheese, you know, given the age demographic and different, I don't know.
I would have to say fans. They're fans of the cheese guy.
Yeah. There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's their mentor in a way.
I feel like we got a lot done here.
I mean, would Chuck E. Cheese ask a kid for
maybe
advice?
Hero? Maybe Hero. Yeah.
We got a lot done here. Just trying
you
to,
should see what Jonas is doing right now, Brady.
He's a simple phone conversation.
He's putting up the mini leg version of the leg lamp from
A Christmas Story. You know the leg lamp from A Christmas Story
that he won. He thought he would won like $1 million.
Yeah.
He got a leg.
My brother got me a replica. It's a smaller one.
It's pretty dope.
And so I was looking for a place to put it, and I thought, you know, why don't I bring it in studio? I mean, this will get stolen too, like the Nerf footballs.
Oh, this
but,
is out of here.
Yeah, like,
and literally, somebody's going to put that right next to their bed.
100%.
So whoever
can I ask
it is,
this question,
you're a weirdo if you touch this lamp and take it out of here. And I don't care if we catch you or not. Just know, for the rest of your life, you shall walk around with the shame of knowing that you are a true weirdo.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brady. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, so Monday Night Football is on.
Yep.
And honestly, like, I did not expect us to talk about that, you know, the Notre Dame situation right off the top. I thought we were going to talk about Monday Night Football. But I did have a buddy just text me, one who's not 18 to 22 years old. And he kind of asked the question. He goes, what was a bigger deal? He's like, you went to Ohio State, Michigan. Like, that game's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Big upset, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football is going on. But, like, the head coach at Notre Dame ended up dominating the headlines last night. Now, maybe it's the way it happened. Maybe it's everything else that's been going on in college football. But he's like, what was a bigger deal in the sports media psych? And I was like, yeah, probably Brian Kelly leaving from Notre Dame to go to LSU,
I mean,
which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Who would really care about the game last night? I mean, granted, the Washington football team is back to 500, which that's pretty cool. But
garbage.
You know,
aren't they still? Under,
they're better than your team right now. Is your team above 500? They are, aren't they? Six and five.
Oh, now Roberto's back being a Raider fan.
Oh,
okay, that's good.
6-5.
Yeah,
we're six. Wait, they are 6-6. Don't let me get confused. They are 6-6. You see how
Who's
fans
they?
Claim? Aren't the
Roberto's
aren't the Washington football team
again.
6-6 now?
Five and six.
I was trying to make them. 500.
That's
better
right.
Than they are.
Listen, yeah. Round up. That's what a lot of people do.
Well, they can't say I never tried to help them.
They
got to
fix their toilets.
There's my one time.
All right. So let's do this then. Let's get into what we think would be the end of a possible partnership in the world of football here as Brady Quinn just slapping it up. I'm trying to do a legitimate football show, and you just want to slap it up here.
Hey, do you have any friends who are 18
Radio?
And 22 years old?
Hey, there was a follow-up question there. You didn't let me get to the follow-up question.
What a weirdo.
All right? You butchered it.
What was Matthew McConaughey's character?
I'm trying to listen. Who cares?
It was a Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's a first name who, last name cares. I'm trying to get legitimate
Days
content here on the
Excuse
show.
Me.
I'm trying to get you to get one of those guys to put his phone on and call into the show from the Notre Dame meeting with
Matthew
Brian Kelly.
McConaughey drops.
I don't know.
He's
probably
not running for governor.
Some Russ Cole.
He's announced
True Detective.
No, he's announced it.
All right.
He doesn't want to do it.
The leg lamp from why am I being filmed?
Because you're going on social media.
The leg lamp from. A Christmas Story is up and running. We are all dialed in here in the studio. Get a good glimpse at it, guys, because that'll be stolen here in the next 24 hours.
Only Jonas Knox
bastards
would pull off bringing in
a
the lamp leg.
Yeah.
From the miniature version, by the way, because to me, I feel like if you were going to do this, which I'm giving you full props.
Have you seen my calves?
But I am taking
real life. I'm just saying, like, that's not that far off. I'm just saying, man.
So you were fishnet stockings and high heels.
Grow up. Can you guys grow up? And we can do a little
show here. I mean, you just compared your leg to the lamp on our.
Listen, it's just grow up, guys. Okay. Let's do a real football show here. We are a serious sports talk radio show here.
Next thing you know, Berto will come in comparing his leg to the leg.
All right, good. All right. Well, we just hope it's his leg. All right. It's two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now, we're going to get into another edition of, in case you missed it, some bizarre stories and situations popping
like
up
setting
all over
up
the place.
A leg lamp in the studio.
Just, well, hey, we're all
just a guess,
in.
You know, just we're just taking a stab at it.
We are all
and the fact that
in.
Berto and Lee are back there like, oh, yeah. Look at that leg. Is the fact that they keep standing creepy. Up and they're all in on the leg, I feel like I am in a very, very weird place,
it
Brady.
Is a very
it's a very weird place.
It
I'm
is.
Just saying.
That and the fact that Jonas has a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old friends.
Yeah, well, listen, look, I'm just asking questions here. I'm trying to do it for content. Can I ask you guys this, though? Was last night the last Monday Night Football game
that we
for
see
Russell Wilson as a member of the Seattle
and Carroll as the coach?
Is that it? We done there? All good?
Can they mess this season up bad enough where they're both gone?
It's over. They're done.
Mean,
they got no shot.
If my math serves me correct, well, I'm saying if they lose one more game, they're guaranteed a losing season, right? They're 3-8. This is the worst start they've gotten off to in Seattle, I'm saying, even before Russell Wilson got there back in 2009. And I believe that was the year, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they win it one year with a losing record and then win their first playoff game?
And I think they played – was that the –
Well, it doesn't matter who they played. The point is this. That's not the same NFC West as it was in 2009. Like, the Arizona Cardinals might be the best football team there is in the NFC or maybe in the NFL. The 49ers are coming back on strong. And even though the Rams seem to be a bit of a, I don't want to say a dumpster fire, but
they're
things
like
aren't
a
going
conundrum.
Well there. They're still like competitive.
It's like, what are they? Yeah. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they kind of in the middle?
Yeah.
What are they?
Yeah.
That's what we feel looking at the Rams.
Seattle's
right
a
now.
Bad football team. Like, let's just call it what it is. They're a bad
this
football
year, they
team.
Are bad.
I will give credit to
–
to listen, yeah, not much longer, babe. I will give credit to –
Oh, that check's still coming now.
I'll give credit to Brady Quinn, though, because you told everybody after Russell Wilson went down with the finger injury, like this just isn't – like, this idea that he's just going to be back and we're going to be all good here, like, there's going to be a major adjustment. He doesn't look like the same guy. Like, it doesn't look like the same guy.
No.
The offense is atrocious. They went a significant amount of time without getting, I think, a first down. Russ ran for a first down in the fourth quarter. That was their first one since, like, midway through the second quarter. Like, they were bad last night on offense.
Well, they've been bad since he's been back. I mean, and look, I'll put it this way. I'm not saying this had anything to do with the reason why things didn't work out for me. But in my second start on Monday Night Football, I had this injury to my index finger. And, you know, ended up having to opt to get surgery, tried to come back, play the following week, had a hard time controlling the football. It never felt the same again. Like, it never felt the same again throwing a football, the ball coming off my finger and all that. And so he's got to adapt to a new normal. And you look at the stats again last night, you know, a lot of that was hidden. Like, his completion percentage in the last two games before last night was like a little above 50%. And if you look at like his first five games, he was like 72% or something like that, right? Just ridiculous. And one of the things you noticed last night was the completion percentage looked a little better, but did you notice where all those completions came from? He was about a 50% until the fourth quarter, that final drive, where they just kept dinking and dinking and dinking and dinking because the Washington football team was giving that to them. So that's where you saw kind of, you know, those stats come back, because the downfield accuracy, not there. Zipping the football like it used to be, not there. Even that final throw for the two-point conversion, like that ball, it doesn't jump out the same way it used to. And it has a little something to do with this. So I know it's small. I know it's a tiny thing, but I think it's going to hamper him the rest of the year. And I think the hard part now is moving forward is how this breakup ends up happening. It never ends well. It's usually pretty ugly.
Well, once you put yourself out there the way he did coming into the season, jacked up finger or not, you got to – like I said this about Aaron Rodgers. When you put yourself out there like that, you better come in and you better do everything it is that you think you were going to do. Not some of it, not a little bit of it, not almost all of it. you better do everything that it is that you felt you were going to do. Because once you open your mouth and put that type of content out there for people to consume and talk about, then now the stage is set. Everybody was looking at this Seattle Seahawks team, and they're saying to themselves, are they going to be successful? And if they're going to be successful, why are they going to be successful? That's what you're looking for when you're looking at the Seahawks team, because this is what they've established over the years. The fact that you come into the season and you're not having a good year, now the narrative and the line of questioning has to change. They're not doing well. Why are they not doing well? Who does this fall on that they're not doing well? And now you got to go back to the beginning of what things were said. The best thing that Pete Carroll could ever did was not get caught up too far and too deep into what could have turned into an ugly back and forth between him and Russell Wilson in the media. Because now, right now, Russ doesn't look like that lovable figure that he has been made out to be. And it's all because of the things that he said and he did coming into the season.
Yeah.
And now you're not producing. Now this team isn't producing. And some would say, okay, well, Russ is right. You needed to do everything that Russ said. Like, this team wouldn't be, you know, struggling if you listened and gave Russ more of a, you know, more of a say. Russ is not playing well. So you have to disqualify the fact that, let's start right here. You did not have enough offense in these losses that Russ has been playing in for them to win these games.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Is it a lack of playmakers? Because I look at DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and say, that's not it.
No, it's not.
Then it's two things, or I said three things. Their offensive line has never been great.
Never.
Been
that's
there.
Fair.
Never. They have a new system this year. Shane Waldron is now calling plays on his own. He was in L.A. with Sean McVay. Different deal there, right? McVay's calling the plays. And even if he gives you the opportunity to call them, he's still overseeing it, right? He's on the mic. He's hearing it all. So that's a work in progress. And then you've got Russ with the finger. Because, I mean, look, before the finger injury, like, I hate to keep going back to that, but statistically you could see it. Watching film, you could see it. It's just he's not the same quarterback as far as accuracy and throwing the football. And so that's the hard part is witnessing all three of those things and going, it's not just one thing. It's a combination of those three in my mind, but everyone's going to end up putting it on Russ when it's all said and done.
Well, here's what I would say to that just super quickly. You got rid of Schottenheimer because your offense wasn't explosive enough. You got rid of him to revamp an offense that needed to utilize Russ in a much different manner. So that even adds to raising the stakes of how we're viewing this Seahawks team, this Seahawks offense, Russell Wilson. It adds to it. So I don't give them – I mean, it's just me. I don't give you the grace of saying it's a work in progress between the new OC and the quarterback, because you guys got rid of – you guys had a pretty decent offense. It wasn't the greatest offense, but you guys were competitive. You get rid of Schottenheimer – to bring this guy to make way for somebody who you felt was going to bring more explosion, more opportunities in terms of getting Russ involved in the offenses, and that's not happening. You got to scrutinize that.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, it's been just a bizarre stretch in the world of sports. Some weird stories that are out there. This one, another issue at a stadium near you. We'll get into all that for you right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, we've got some rumors in the NFL that involve college football, so that'll be a fun one to get into. Somebody is denying this. We will have that for you here a little over 10 minutes from now on FSR.
My name, Brian Kelly.
no, that's a very good point. By the way, we are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. It's the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. And right now, it's time for this.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you, in case you missed it.
And for that, we turn it over to Lee Delap, our executive producer, to find out what the hell's going on. Lee?
You guys, in case you missed it last night during the Monday Night Football game at FedEx Field, there was a little bit of waterworks happening in one of the luxury suites.
Oh.
Fans were quick to put on social media video of what looked like water coming down from the luxury suites. People were reporting that it was from the sprinklers, while fans were guessing that it was coming from somewhere else.
Well, what's so funny, Berto? What did you find to be so amusing? It might have been the sprinklers, you know.
Hey, that's not the first time, is it?
Yeah, cats like cigars and weed and stuff.
Earlier this year.
I mean, you know, it's legal these days.
There was some sort of an issue. And people thought it was sewage water earlier this
you
year.
You thought it was sewage water.
Well, you said it was dirty sewage water. Would it have not have been
Eddie
a better
was at
story?
That game and it was sewage water.
Okay, would it have not have been a better story if it was sewage water?
All right, listen. Berto put Eddie out there and then looked at him.
They don't put sewer pipes above fans. I'm sorry. That's just not how the infrastructure
works.
Let's go live to find out whether or not it was sewage earlier
There's
in the
no
season
way.
At
yeah.
FedEx
yeah.
Field with go. Our insider, Edmund go. Garcia, for the latest. Yeah. Eddie?
Well, I was not near the alleged sewage spill, but...
Oh, he did say sewage spill.
Well, the viral videos seem to indicate that the people that were next to the sewage, or whatever it was... claimed it was sewage, and they were right there next to it. So
let me tell you something.
It wasn't sewage.
If you have an architect that has sewage water, which we know what sewage water is, running in a spot where it could break and drop on people in stands, they should never have been allowed. In fact, the person who hired that architect should never be allowed to hire an architect. And that architect should never be allowed to do architecture for anything else.
That sounds like the type of architect that has a bunch of friends who are maybe 18 to 22 years old.
That you try to be friends with.
Worried about the wrong things. You know?
Talk about holding on to something way too long during the course of the show.
I don't get offended by it. Listen, asked the question.
We're going to run this sewage pipe right here. So one day when a crack takes place and it leaks out of there, we're basically S-ing on people.
I'm not here to mock the designers of RFK Stadium.
Come
I refuse
on.
To
it's
do
not
that,
RFK. So.
Well, listen, it should be.
It's not RFK.
And that's why they got leaks.
It's so bad.
All right. What else we got, Lee?
All over your head.
You guys, it was a tough day for the Dodgers yesterday as Max Scherzer agreed to a three-year deal worth $130 million with the Mets, and Corey Seager agreed to a whopping 10-year deal for $325 million with the Rangers.
Break up the crew. Break up the band.
Y'all could they assign him back?
God, that's a lot of money given to a guy with a dead arm.
Yeah,
or maybe he didn't have dead arm. Maybe he was just,
you
know,
gotta love how people get
investment.
Hated on when they're on their way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he 37?
Go get some cash.
Sure. Yeah, hold a Scherzer. He's late 30s, right?
37.
With that type of contract, he could dictate whatever age he wants to be. I'm going to pay to be 35. Yeah.
Well, the Mets don't have to worry about him getting dead arms during the playoffs because they never make the playoffs anyway. So.
Slam by Roberto. Nice one. Good dick, dude.
Way to jump in there, Berto.
I see you, Berto. can I ask this, though? You know he's getting the highest – average annual salary of any professional sports player.
3 year 130, man.
What is it, 42, 43 million it comes out to be?
The basketball contract.
It's
yeah,
a
but
lot
it's more
money.
Than that, dude.
Yeah.
That surpasses everyone.
Yeah, as far as annual salary, just on a short-term deal, I mean, and by the way, what if he pitches okay? He's going to get another bite at the apple, and he'll probably get another, you know, $20 to $30 million a year after that. Good for him, man. Yeah. For a guy who's got two different eye colors, I mean, I think this is really something here.
Can't that sort of money fix that, or do you not want to? Like, I don't know. Mine are the same colors.
Well, what could they do? Could they just, you know, like, permanently go in there and, like, put a dye
in? I don't know. I saw a movie called Face Off once. I feel like if they can rip your face off and put it on somebody face else's. On someone else, they can probably figure out the eyeball situation.
That's a good point. I feel like we've really broken down MLB free
agency. You can change the color. You definitely can change the color of your eyes.
This is really
contacts.
Good stuff.
No, they can do. They can do surgery and change the color.
Can they really?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Look up Tiny, you know, T.I.'s wife. She did that. She went overseas somewhere or out of the country.
Oh, it's got to be like in changed Germany.
She changed her eye color.
Yeah, came back a Cyclops. Yeah.
No, wait. So if I want blue eyes, I can go get blue eyes?
I mean, you want to go, let's do a deal with somebody. I want to get lighter brown eyes, personally.
Let's negotiate this deal on the
air.
I'd
like to light mine up just a tad bit. I figure if I get hazel, I'd be way sexier than what I am. I mean, I don't need any more sexy, but I'll tell you what, some hazel browns. Yeah.
He's going to walk in there. I need some hazel.
Yeah. You know, then I come in with Brady Rural. You know, I'd be like, forget Jonas. Me and Brady rolling.
That's right.
My hazel eyes.
My baby blue eyes.
Yeah. Oh, man. We'd be Google eyeing everybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'd be knocking them down.
Yeah. I wouldn't even blink.
I wouldn't even use a word. I'd just be everywhere I go. I just look like, why are you looking at me like that? Just look into my eyes.
You just got to be careful if you have any friends who are 18 to 22.
There it is, folks. Yeah.
Yes. That get a little awkward.
It's getting to the point of where they could be my daughter's friends.
I feel like I feel like we're at Santa Anita. Brady's beating a horse.
I got a son that's 21, so there you go. How about that?
Unbelievable.
Oh,
I got
wow.
your
Jeez,
I got your one eye right here.
Take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.